How many of you last week were here for the first part of this series for such a time as this? Good. How many of you? Well, we're going. We need to know that the times we live in, we need to study those times. You know, everywhere Paul went, it seemed he had a study of those people, what was important to them, what their focus was, and so forth. He really did. I mean, you can tell in his writings that he was addressing local particular needs in that church. I mean, that's evident when he went to Mars Hill in Athens. You know, they built all these things. He says, oh, you know, I perceive you guys are very religious or superstitious. Because I saw these monuments built to these several gods, but I'm here to tell you about the God, Him I declare, who sent His Son and raised Him from the dead. And they go, what? And suddenly, if you notice, what happened is the preaching of the gospel just drove out all those other gods. Displaced them. And empowered people to be lorded by the Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't lord over us, but liberates us with the truth, so that when we come to Him, we can desire of Him, His guidance, His wisdom, and a future He prepared for us. Anyhow, so for such a time as this, you might wonder, and I mentioned this last week too, you might wonder, why was I born now? Physically in this earth. Why was I born, and why am I living now in 2022? Hasn't there been a change over the last 5 years, over the last 10 years? I was born in 1951. Hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet, baseball. And, you know, it was back then, if a man making $10,000 a year, I mean, he was living on Easy Street. $200 a week. That's poverty level now. So we've seen inflation happen. We've seen the dollar shrink. We've seen a lot of things going on. Why are we living in this time now? Why am I alive here? I have the life and the light of God in my body, in my spirit. I have the same message that the Apostle Paul had, that turned the world upside down. I have a book at home that says 12 men who turned the world upside down. They did. You have that same thing in you. You can turn upside down the agenda of the enemy, like we were doing this morning, praying to God and breaking the power of the enemy over our schools. And then you look at it and say, it doesn't seem like it's working. Well, that's not faith. You're looking at something out here to tell you whether God's word worked or not. You got to know when you speak His word, it's going to work. Amen. God has anointed you for that. When you speak the word, it works. When you pray to God, He answers. So, you know, and we've got to get rid of all of this stuff that says, well, you know, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes He says no. No. He doesn't say no. Not if it's according to His word. And if you don't have His word on something, you don't have any business praying for it in the first place. Amen? But if it's in His word, you can believe Him for it. God always says, in fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says this. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen, according to the power that works in us, really. Praise God. Amen. We got to sow our seed knowing it is seed and it will grow. We got to pray knowing that our prayer is being heard by the Father and that He does answer. He does say yes. This He's got everything in place. All He's asking for is somebody to ask Him. He's got it all in place. Everything is set. He has called you to the table in the presence of your enemies to feast in their presence. Why would He? That's Old Testament. New Testament, we have a table that's ready to go. Let's get up. We come to the, we dine with our Father. We fellowship with our Father. We hear him. He loves to speak into our lives. He's the same as he was when he spoke to Adam and Eve, when he walked with them in the cool of the day and spoke into their lives, teaching them. Not just the how-tos, but the whys. How to do things. Yeah, you got to know that, but why you need to do these things. He was a father to them. He fathered them. He spoke into their lives. He gave them. It was the perfection of marriage. It was the perfection of work, tilling the soil and things like, you know, farmers go way back. They go way back. They've got it down now pretty well where they're counting kernels. That's pretty rich. So we're going to address these throughout this. Why am I living now? I have everything that they had at the beginning of the church age. And by the way, time doesn't change God. Time doesn't change how God deals with people. He's the same God as he was in Genesis. He's had several different covenants in the way he relates to man, but he's still the same man. He still has the same will. Same man. He's still the same God. And he deals with man according to the same love that he has always loved man with. But now, since Jesus rose from the dead and destroyed the enemy and his minions and their power hold on humanity, he's just saying, look, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Amen? So, throughout the series too, last week we emphasized ordinary people who met an extraordinary God. We talked about Esther, little peasant girl, who ended up saving the king of Persia and saving a nation, her entire Jewish nation. And God prepared her for such a time as this, he said. Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai delivered that, he said, who knows? You came to the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, you've come into the kingdom of God. When you were born again, you were delivered from the power of darkness. That has to be a reality in your life. You have been, say this, I have been delivered from the power of darkness. And I have been translated into the kingdom of Jesus, the liberator, the lover of my soul. Amen. Amen. So ordinary people, extraordinary God for such a time as this. And we talked about Oral Roberts. We talked about Kenneth Hagin. Oral Roberts was a boy dying of tuberculosis. Kenneth Hagin had a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease. None of them were expected to make it past 17, 18 years old. But God. What are you facing today? For such a time as this, you're just an ordinary person, right? I'm just an ordinary person. I was a drugged out rock and roller. And God plucked me up out of that. And I didn't know anything. I just knew I had peace. And that I never had before. And I started learning, and he worked with me through all kinds of crud. I mean, he had to lift layer of layer of layer. I was an onion. He had to peel that onion and get the stuff off of me that didn't take too long to get into, but sometimes takes a lot to get out of. But if you hang in there and you stand on the Word of God, it's worth it. I said it's worth it. It's worth it because the future is bright and rewards are at stake when we stand before Jesus on that day. It's not a day of condemnation. It's a day of determining your rewards based on what you've done. And there are rewards, by the way, and it's based on what you've done. And God isn't a socialist. He doesn't say, well, you know, they did this and they did this, so we'll just even it out and do it on the curve and everybody gets the same. You got that wrong, pal. That is an ungodly, unfair, unjust system that collapses under its own weight. It has every single time. Amen. Praise God. So you can have it. Socialism isn't for me. I'm an ordinary person, but I have an extraordinary God. Today we're going to talk about Peter, James, and John. And you know, sometimes when we're studying, and let's just get right into our weekly confession here, John. Let's get ready to say, ready, read. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Boy, that's a whole... I'm going to do a series on that. And because that is a good confession, but we need to get to the roots of that. And so it starts producing something in our life. Where were we here? It's over here. Let your fingers do the walking. And we talked about the great cloud of witnesses last week. And Paul mentioned the Old Testament ones, and then he said, we also are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Not just Old Testament ones, but those that surrounded him in his ministry. But the ever-present word brings it in us. We have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. I remember one time when I said, Lord, and I was kind of down and out. I just got thrown out of a church because I got filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I faithfully served the devil for 24 years. Never once spoke in tongues. During that whole time, I was serving the devil. Then I get filled with the Spirit. Tongues start coming out, and they say, no, that's of the devil. All I wanted was God. I was seeking him in his word. And it comes along, and I get filled with the Spirit. And they say, oh, that's of the devil. So they said, you can speak in tongues all you want. You're not going to do it here. Get out of here. So I got the left foot of fellowship. And I was sitting on a curb in New Haven, Connecticut, and I said, Lord, show me someone who in this day and age, I was looking for a current cloud of witnesses. So show me somebody in this day and age who sought you, who promised, because I saw that, and follow those who through faith and patience inherited the promise. So I said, show me somebody in this day. The next day I got a book at Logos Bookstore in New Haven, Connecticut, Exceedingly Growing Faith by a man named Kenneth Hagin, and it was his whole life story. And I read that, and I said, well, there's a man who, through faith and patience, inherited the promise. And so I had something. I had something to go on, a current witness to the power of God, that it is available for everybody. It's not just for some and a few. It's for everybody. Everybody. Get up. God has empowered me today. This word is God empowering me. How about that?
Amen.
It's his power of salvation.
Praise God.
So I want to talk about Peter, James, and John today. Oh, Peter. Don't you love Peter? I'm thankful for Peter with all the mistakes I've made. Man, he just blew it out of the water. And so it gives me hope. Amen. So we see that there's different ways you can study people. I like the way the Bible pattern gives us to study things. Ever since the very beginning, evening and morning, and that was the first day. Then it was evening and morning was the second day. Evening and morning. It never goes from light to darkness. It goes evening to morning. It goes from darkness to light. Darkness to light all the time in the Bible. You see, it goes from darkness to light. Well, if you look at the end of Peter's life, there's a whole lot of light there. So God is the God who declares the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. It says, consider the former things. I am God, there's none like me, who declares the end from the beginning. So if you want to know what the end of the world is going to be, look at the beginning of the world, because he declared the end from the beginning. It shouldn't be a mystery. You want to know the end of your life? Look at the beginnings of what God did, but go to the end of your life. Go to the end of Peter's life and work back, and you'll find some amazing things. That's what I've been doing here. So somebody was, okay, let's start off. Was like the first, like the second chapter of Acts when he preached that he was filled with the Spirit and preached that great sermon where 3,000 people got saved? No, that's good, but that's not nearly the end. How about Acts chapter 3 where he got the cripple man up? He says, silver and gold have a number. What I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he healed him. And then he silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin because they couldn't argue against it. They said, just don't preach in that name. Well, I'm going to. Stop it if you can. Because he is my defender. Praise God. Next chapter 9, he raised Dorcas from the dead. In chapter 12, the angel busted him out. And it keeps on going and going and going. But where we see Peter really shine is in his letters at the end of his life when he started writing 1 Peter. 1 Peter letter ended with something very interesting. First Peter chapter 5. Verse 6, this is how he ends his letter, saying that God resists the proud but exalts the humble. I wonder how he got that little tidbit of wisdom. Because Peter's pride, but he was known for it. I mean, he met with Paul, spent 3 days with Paul, and you know that Peter couldn't stop telling him he walked on the water. Anyhow. 1 Peter 5 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? So that he can make you crawl like a worm? No, that he might exalt you. What does it say? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you right at the right time. Casting all your care. That word casting, listen to this. Look up here for a second. Casting all your care, it means to throw as hard as you can. Cast all your care on him. Once and for all, it has a permanence to it. It means to hurl. It means to throw it and get it off of you. Yeah. Amen. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And then if you start caring for stuff, you're not allowing him to care for you. Do you get that? Okay. And then he says, be sober. Well, there's a lot of church could listen to that one. No, I'm kidding. This means to have a serious, sincere mindset. Casting all your care on him, be sober and vigilant. This is where we're at right now in this world today. You've got to be vigilant all the time. You've got to have your defense walls up all the time when you go into this world so that you don't get sucked into the narrative. You don't start thinking like they think. You don't start reacting like they do. You don't do it. It's easy and it entangles us, it says in Hebrews. But be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who's your adversary? Is it people? Is it the guy who is always bothering you? Is it the party that's down the street on Saturday nights when you know you got to wake up early and be here in church and they're dancing and everything and the cops don't want to enforce the law? That's going around too. Be sober, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Resist him. People are not our enemy. People are not the target. People are not what we're supposed to take our wrath out on. Even the devil, it says, be sober. He's trying to steal stuff from you. He's trying to kill stuff in you. He's trying to destroy you. Resist him steadfast in what? Yeah, you can't go into psychological battles with the devil. This is Peter shining like a light. This is his process of an open door policy into the kingdom of heaven. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We all go through stuff. We're all experiencing these same things every single day. Say, well, you're a preacher. You don't experience those. Follow me around for a half hour. Yeah. Ooh. Resist him steadfast. No, you see, if you bring it into the arena of faith, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If you keep it in the arena of faith, you win every time. But if you start getting into thoughts and you say, you know what the word doubt means? If you ever do etymology in the word, which is a study of word origins, but the word doubt is D-O-U-B, starts with, it means to be of two minds. You talk yourself into it, you talk yourself out of it. That's why when I was in the insurance business, I wouldn't try to talk people into stuff, because if I could talk them into it, somebody else could talk them out of it. I wanted to solve a need and give them something substantial, something that will carry them into the purpose that we're doing this. So we all experience these same things that happen suddenly. Suddenly. Why? Because that's the attack of the devil. Sneak attack. That's what got us into World War II. Pearl Harbor. Sneak attack. We weren't expecting it. It was surprise. Suddenly. We have sudden attitudes, sudden frustrations that arise. Sudden feelings of inadequacy, sudden feelings of sinking down, and life is just, that doesn't come from God. You've got to recognize that is the voice of the devil talking to you. We have God's word talking. You know, so many people, they say, I don't hear God talking to me. I'm with these Christians, and they're talking like God's in a room with them. Duh. You know, they're saying, God told me this, God told me that. Why don't I hear God like that? This word that is sitting in your lap is God talking to you. And the more you read and meditate in that word, the more you are acclimating your inner ear to his voice. And the better you know the word, you will know his voice. I'm going to get to my message today. Peter. So if you start at the end and work back, you're going to find you're going to find the process a lot clearer when you work from the back to the front, from the later part of his life to the earlier part of his life. Did you know that that's what happened to Peter? That's how he started thinking? Peter started thinking at the end of his life, and he was working back. You can do the same thing. I'll prove it to you. In John chapter 21, in fact, let's go there. Let's read that whole thing. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. This is an amazing, amazing revelation. I'll just start at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. In other words, this is how he showed himself. He had died, he had risen from the dead, and I think this is the third time he appeared to the apostles. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. What's he doing? He's going back into the very life he came from. Have you ever said, I'm just going back? I mean, this is sobering. He said, I'm going fishing. He's going right back into the very life that Jesus delivered him from. And he's going back to fishing for fish instead of fishing for men. So Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. They said unto him, well, we'll go too. You see, sometimes bad decisions can lead other people to bad decisions too. And entered into the ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And he answered them, no. They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said, and John wrote this. You know, you need to write that down. You know, I'm the one who Jesus really loves. I'm his favorite. Do you know Gloria Copeland always said, well, no, I'm his favorite. You got scriptural precedence for that. So therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, these are only one of two statements that John ever made that is recorded in the Bible. Four words. And the other one was four words. It was when he was leaning on Jesus at the Last Supper, and Jesus said, somebody, one of you here is going to betray me. And Jesus and Peter goes, find out who that. So he said, Lord, who is it? Four words. Eight words were quoted by John, and a multitude of words were recorded from Peter. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said, Peter, it is the Lord. So then, now, when Simon Peter heard, I'm in verse 7, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat and dove in. He dove into the sea. And the other disciples came to the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, whatever that is, dragging the net with fishes. So as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire and coals and fish laid thereon and bread. And it's good to have too. Bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish that you have caught. And Simon Peter went up. Anyhow, they get into this conversation afterwards. And Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. Then he said a second time, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Said a third time, Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know my heart. You know everything about me. What is this about? You remember that Jesus, he betrayed Jesus three times. Or he denied Jesus three times, rather. And now he's saying three chances. You know, right at your very worst, Jesus always gives you a chance to get to your very best on a fast track here. By what? Saying what you need to say. Now he said this. In verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son, do you love me? Peter said, because he said the third time, you love me. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. For verily, he said in verse 18, this is a key scripture in your life right here. Verily, verily, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. But when you shall be old, You shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you did not want to go. And it says in the next verse, this he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So what do we see here? Peter saw that he would be an old man. Jesus said, when you are old, you're going to be led by other people and you'll stretch out your hands. He was signifying that Peter would be crucified. So Peter, in Acts chapter 12, when he was cast into prison, it says Herod was going to behead him like the next day. And Peter's sitting in prison just as restful, just sleeping like a baby, not worried about a thing, because he knew that the words of Jesus cannot fail. And he knew this, that Jesus said he would grow old and he would be crucified. He wouldn't be beheaded like they have in plan. So he's sleeping like a baby, total peace. Why? Because he had the word of God. He had the vision for the end of his life. This is what I'm saying to you. If he did that for Peter, don't you think he'd do it for you? How many people, men of God who study, know when they are going to die. God told them, you need to do this, 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 and this. This is my plan for your life. Fulfill it. And they have a vision, and they can work back from there. That's what Peter was doing. He had the vision. He knew what was going to happen. He worked back from there. You getting this? There is so much peace in knowing that God has declared your future. That's what this is all about. That's what this conversation is all about. And he's gifting Peter a look into the future so that he will be in perfect peace no matter what happens. And whether the Romans or Herod or whoever is after him, it didn't matter to him. And then he went on from that prison to other places. And you know what? As powerful a man as he was, he still had all kinds of problems. He still had fears, doubts, and things like that. How do I know that? Well, Paul had to straighten him out in Antioch. And it had to do with legalism stuff. But then, and Peter kind of got that right, and he went to the council in Acts chapter 15. And the words of Peter put a whole lot of light on the subject, on what the devil was trying to do into destroying the church by dividing it with legalism. And the whole thing came to light. God did. Peter walked in peace. From this point on, yeah, he made mistakes. Yes, he fell short. Yes, he did this wrong and that wrong, and he'd be the first to tell you. But the thing is, he had God's plan for his life, and he knew that Jesus would work with him and help him and get him to where he needed to be. All he had to do is be willing to do one thing, believe God. Do you believe it? Who has believed our report? That was our last series. Are you getting anything out of this today? And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, this is Peter's system for never falling, never failing, never short on supply. He said as in verse 3, he said, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. I'm not going to go through all. What I'm showing you is, and the purpose of this, because there's a whole series that we have on these attributes here, is to show you that God lit him up. He walked into the light that was already in him, that God had already declared for him, shedding his flesh, shedding worldly thinking, shedding all of his doubts, shedding all his fears throughout his life, eliminating them one at a time, and just going and following the Holy Spirit. He is lit up here like a light bulb. This is why people, his shadow people that just show your shadow here so this guy can get healed. That's the kind of power he walked in. That's the kind of power that's in you, that's in me too. Why isn't it happening? Well, maybe you just need that faith activated inside of you through the vision that God has for you. Have you asked God, what is the name that you have for me? What do you call me? He has a covenant name for you that's going to be your name forever. Why would he withhold that from you now? Why would he withhold anything? He's already given you the most valuable thing that he ever possessed was his own son. Why would he withhold any of that information from you? Ask him to light up your future so that you can know where you're going, so you're not walking in the dark. Yes, you can follow him and follow him, follow him, follow him. That's what you need to be doing. But you need to have a clear vision where you are going, and he'll give that to you. Isn't that good? Anyhow, I enjoyed that. He knew he'd grow old. He knew he would be crucified. He knew God had a plan for his life. You see, Peter and John, and this is one of the things that we're learning in Relationship University. That's a tongue twister. Relationship University on Wednesday nights is that there are different reasons for different relationships, and we need various type of relationships in our life. Peter, James, and John were the intimate, the inner circle that Jesus had a relationship with. Then he had another relationship with the 12. Greg Moore taught this. Then he had another relationship with the 70. Then he had another relationship with the multitudes. We need all of these kind of relationships in our life. God created us for a relationship. And this relationship here, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus who he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took only them. And he went up into a high mountain and was transfigured before them. And they saw who he was in the Spirit. They saw him. And it was in the previous chapter, Peter already said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. He got that by revelation. Now he's seeing it. He's seeing. Could you imagine that? He's shown brighter than the sun at the noon. And then they all heard the voice too of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Boy, that hasn't changed. The instruction of the Father: listen to him, listen to him, listen to him, listen to him. Jairus, when he went to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, the only people he took was Peter, James, and John. They went into that room and saw what he did. And do you know what? And he raised that little girl from the dead. When Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, you know what? He did the same thing Jesus did. He put everybody out of the room. And then he kneeled down and prayed. And then he spoke to Dorcas, said, "Come back." And she came back. Glory to God is right. I don't know if Lori and I have been with people who died when they were in a nursing home ministry. And it's a glorious thing, really, when they have a nice little smile. Remember Victor? We met such sweet people. We'll see him in heaven. And sweet people. Does somebody want to answer that? The inner circle, they witnessed the transfiguration. They saw who Jesus was in the Spirit. They heard the voice of the Father. They saw Moses and Elijah standing there with Jesus. You want to see things like this? Shed the attitudes. Shed. All that stuff is working against you anyhow. Frustration, attitudes against people. It keeps you in the natural realm. It keeps you thinking naturally. But when you look through that and see the real enemy who's working all of that, and who you are in Christ, you rise up against it because God's called you to better things. God's called you to brighter things. Peter, James, and John. Now, James is never quoted as saying anything. And it's interesting that in Acts chapter 12, when James, the brother of John, was beheaded, in the same chapter, Peter was released. It says James died by the sword. That means he was beheaded. That's the way they did it. And there was some other people recorded in church history, not in the Bible, who died with James that day. And when Herod saw how it pleased all the Jews, man, he got on it and started. And that's when he arrested Peter. Peter was in jail that night, and the angel broke him out. You know why the angel broke him out? Because Jesus' words that he spoke to him on the shore of Galilee had to be honored. And Jesus said, when you are old. And Peter wasn't old yet. So that angel was sent there to uphold the word of Jesus. And he got Peter out of there. I don't know about you, but I'm getting kind of lit on this. Peter was the most vocal one. And it took him the longest time to progress in his spiritual walk. Even though he was empowered from the day of Pentecost on. You know, you can have the power of God in you and still operate in the flesh, still get angry, still lose it, still get confused about the law and traditions and things like that. But don't let it stop the power from working in you. Say, this doesn't sound like right. I mean, well, God didn't give the gifts to you because you earned it or you deserve it. He gives it to you because he's a giver. And the Holy Spirit is the one who operates those gifts through you, not you. Even Jesus used to say, it's the Father in me. He does the works. He said, Philip, have you been so long time with me and you have not known me? He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He said, well, show us the Father and it suffices us. He said, he has seen me has seen the Father. So how say you, show us the Father? He said, the words that I speak, I don't speak of myself. It is the Father in me. He does the works. Philip couldn't put it together. He had seen Jesus heal multitudes. He saw miracles. He saw storms, you know, calmed. He saw Peter walk on the water. He saw Jesus walk on the water. He saw limbs restored. He saw blind eyes restored. He saw all of this stuff. But he couldn't put it together. That was the Father working through Jesus. It was the Father working through Jesus. It's the same Father in you. It's the same Holy Spirit in you. It's the same Jesus in you. It's the same. Look, get this to you. It's not the old church and the new church or the early church. No, it's only one church. There's only one church age. And as we get brighter and brighter in this moment that we live in now, we've got to have that power activated. And we've got to know that it works. When we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. When you plant your seed, know it's going to grow. Be confident. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we call forth anything according to his word, we know that he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the thing, the petitions that we have asked of him. Know of a surety. Be confident in that. Confidence exudes from knowing the word of God, from knowing that God has a plan for your life, that you were made for such a time as this, so that when you get into any certain piece of time, any situation, whatever, then you have what it takes to bring God's power into that situation and meet the needs of that person or those people. You got to know it. And how do I know it? Okay, I got to know it. How do I know it? Get his word. Spend some time with God. In prayer. My times are in the morning. Some people are at night. I like the night watchers. You know, that's exciting too. Sometimes I stay up late at night too, but primarily, get a time where you can get with the Lord and get in the Word and have him start speaking to you from his Word. If he showed Peter, he'll show you. If he put up with Peter, he'll put up with you. But here's what Peter did have, and it's such a valuable commodity that Peter. Now, James and John, they were not choir boy, you know, goody goodies. Jesus called them the sons of thunder. What that what because that means the sons of tumult, which is disorder and everything. They were the ones who wanted to call fire down on this city because they didn't welcome Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't punish people for your mistakes. You walk in love and hopefully they'll get the clue. But Peter, whatever he saw, this is the relationship he had with Jesus, and this is where we need to go. Whatever he saw Jesus do, he believed he could do too. When he saw Jesus on the water, he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. He said, come. Because he believed here that whatever he saw Jesus do, he could do. Lay hands on the sick. Bring them up. Raise them from the dead. This is what he saw Jesus do. And he did it exactly the way Jesus did it. There's no new way. Just do it. Doers of the word shall be blessed in their deed, it says. But be doers of the word, not hearers only. Hallelujah. Be in that intimate circle. Know what God has called you to. And let him declare the end from the beginning for you in his word. This word is a living thing. It lives. And the more you know it, the more you know how he operates, what he operates, the more these spiritual laws are open to you. And you can walk in them. The Father says, come. The Son says, come. The Spirit says, come. Come. Praise God. Well, Father, once again, we just lift up the name of Jesus. As we approach you in prayer, once again, we thank you for the name that has been given to us to use here in this world to enter the courts of heaven by faith, to use that name in battle with the enemy, to use that name to liberate people from sickness and disease, to liberate them from fear and confusion, that you have given us a standing in heaven and a voice in heaven, a voice that angels listen to here because they hearken unto your voice, the voice of your word when we speak it. And we thank you for all the agencies available to us. Help us to see and to gain insight and revelation into those things and how to work your covenant as you would have us work it, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. And our prayer ministers, altar ministers will agree with you. There's refreshments in the cafe and fellowship. So stick around. We want to have some table fellowship. We need to get to know you.